In the early 90s, yes. You got involved in the survival programme.
Oh, yes. Survival, I mean, apart from many, many other documentaries, but I got involved with survival. And it was the first time we had actually had a presenter in shot. For about 20 years, survival was always done by one cameraman shooting. He might be filming tigers or something, and he'd be out in the jungle for 2 years, been given £25,000 over 2 years, and make this film on tigers. And at the same time, he would he had a little tape recorder and just record wild tracks. After 2 years, the film would come back, and he would give the film and the sound recordings to the dubbing suite, and they would put voiceovers over it and dubbed into many, many other languages and distributed all around the world. It was a very successful project to do. They got quite a few awards for doing so. I don't think, quite frankly, it was as good as the BBC, but ITV, or my wife seems to think it's very good, you know. Anyway, so around about 93, they thought they'd revamp it, and so off we went off to America with Gabby Roslin. So we had her in shot. We had 3 weeks in America. Had a week in Alaska, where we filmed the brown bear, and that was a fantastic. The whole sequence of events was very nice. We flew from Amsterdam to America, then up to Anchorage. Then we got on a little aircraft with water skis on it, and off we flew to our camp at Kulik. And we were there for a week and filmed these brown bears. They're huge. They must be about 6 foot tall. And we filmed them. And in the evenings, we had fantastic get-togethers. And I always remember my last day, Chris, we had to kill time. So we were asked what we'd like to do. So off we went fishing. And we went off a little boat and with our rods and so forth, and just let the bait run down with the tide, and you just reeled it back, and the salmon, the sort of size, would get hold of it, you know. Anyway, after that, we then went to Seattle. That's just very near Vancouver, off Vancouver, near Vancouver Island, and we filmed the orca whales. That's the black and white whale. Well, that was quite phenomenal, actually. They're huge. Almost made your... The beauty of it almost made you weep.
Is that where you have some sort of fairly original thinking or original ideas in sound effects?
Cut! Well, I basically put a microphone in some form of rubber cloth. And so I insulated my microphone and put it in the water and got some fantastic sound effect, which the American research lab thought was rather good, actually, by luck, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah. Then we went on to Arizona after that.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And we filmed the rattlesnake. We were there for a week. We flew into Tucson, and it was so dry out there, and drove past all those aircraft in the desert. You know, it's like they mothballed all these aircraft in the desert, and drove right into the depths of Arizona, and how they squeeze the rattlesnake's head and extricate the poison venom. So anyway, we did that and flew back to the UK, and our next project was to fly to Kenya. Can you imagine it? After Nairobi, flew in there, and then by small aircraft to the Mara. And there we were there for 2 weeks, camping by the side of the Mara. And every night there'll be these noises of all these hippos going off, you know. And that was exactly 25 years ago. And there's a little story there, might be rather boring, but about last month for the Norfolk magazine, there was an article about Africa on it, how this Norfolk charity organisation are putting money to try and preserve the wildlife in Africa. Anyway, I had this novel idea to put sound effects on it. Well, funny enough, when I was in Africa, I used to have my tape recorder and record sound effects perhaps 40 minutes sound effects. I just leave my recorder going probably the early hours of the morning before people are up and just leave this recorder going. So I still got my collection of sound effects of 25 years ago. So for the November issue of the Norfolk magazine, I put the sound effects on it and wafted them in and out. So, and Sarah Lutter very kindly mentioned to me that I'd actually done so. Anyway, So we went to Mara, and that was quite exciting. All the animals of the Mara, the lions and the wildebeest, the whole spectrum. And it was, that really was, I mean, I've almost forgotten about it now, but camping by the side and in the evening a campfire and having wonderful food and storytelling. And
wonderful.
Yeah. Then we had a fortnight there, and then Gabby Roslin went back to England, and then we went into Nairobi and then drove down to, I think it's called Tsavo. It's another game park. We're filming the flamingos and warthogs and so forth, you know.
And then you left Anglia TV. When was that?
Oh, I left in full employment around about 2000-2001. They wanted to get rid of all the film crews and put it on a different system, the books wise, so I left on a Friday night and got my redundancy money and paid my mortgage off, perhaps it wasn't a great one, and came back to work on the Monday on a freelance basis, which was quite good. As mentioned about the Monte Carlo Rally, Chris, not long after I got this phone call from someone in Norfolk, Norwich, who rang me up one day and asked me would I like to help him on the Monte Carlo Rally. And as I was freelance, I could say to my Anglia Television, I'm sorry, I have a little job I'd like to do. And I could do it, which would be impossible. But freelance, we were just as busy for quite some years until probably 10 years ago. In fact, 10 years ago, I was filming in the Panama Canal. And then I had several years with Paul Heine. He had a Canadian canoe, and we were paddling all round, or exploring the source of rivers right down to the, you know, there might be the Wensum, there might be a little spring somewhere in North Norfolk. We'd film the spring, and then film him all the way right out to sea. We did that over a period of 2 or 3 years, you know.
Fantastic.
We had another little jolly, which was nice. We filmed Paul Heine in about an 18 or 19 foot sailing boat, and we filmed him from Southend, and we sailed down the Thames estuary all up the coast to King's Lynn, but popping into various ports en route. Just a couple of months ago, my director, Bill Smith, you may know, he used to direct all the farming programmes and the Paul Heine programmes that I'm talking about, rang me up one day and said, would we film the local school at Renningham? And he lives in a lovely rectory there. But what we did, we had the former pupils there, about 10 of them in the classroom, in a line. Then we had about 15 or 18 of the new pupils there. They were about 7 or 8, and they were throwing questions to the former pupils who had been there 30, 40 years before. So we filmed, we had two cameras there, and I did the sound. So I'm still doing little jobbies.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Eddie, it's been great to talk to you. You're still doing bits and pieces, and no doubt you'll carry on doing bits and pieces.
Chris was talking to Eddie Elmhurst.